Hi there, this is Erin Nicole, and you're listening to the Move Happy Movement podcast. On this show, I interview people from all over the world. Sometimes I do spirit-led sermons from the divine, and this is a United States veteran-owned, veteran spouse-owned business, and we have a nonprofit arm, Erin Nicole Ministries, that is recognized and respected across all military branches. And if you live in America, you know about the freedom of religion that we all have because of the many, many, many veterans that have fought to protect for our freedoms. And you get to choose who you worship in America. No one judges you. This ministry was spirit inspired. And you say, what spirit? Because there are many spirits out there. The best one, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity, the Father of all of us, His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. Now you get the freedom to choose whoever you desire to worship, and you also get the choice to choose to not worship anybody or believe in science and nature. That is the beauty of being in America. That is what draws people to America, the freedoms that we have. And in my household, we are not ashamed of the name of Jesus Christ. Sometimes I share music with you that is inspired through the divine. And sometimes it's music that you might hear in the future in churches around the world. Sometimes the music isn't church really, I don't want to say friendly. It's under the domain of love in some capacity to help you reframe your life, to help empower you to find happiness from within. And you might hear some nature sounds in the background. I am literally trying to follow doctor's orders. I'm a highly intelligent being, as I am sure you are as well if you're listening to this show. Maybe somebody sent this link to you because they know you're struggling with the tough season. Maybe you've got depression, or maybe they think that you might know somebody that does. Your population, that's who we service. This show is free for you, but it's not free for me. I've been paying for it out of my own pocket because I've been obedient to the divine, and He has, wow, has He grown it. Not necessarily the number of downloads, but the kinds of people that listen to the show. Big, powerful people. He has shifted and moved because of the level of faith I've had in this calling. And there's bugs flying on my face. I'm trying to be obedient to the doctor that I finally got to see. I've been dealing with the past month, almost 1 full month as I record this, since I was hit by another car while I was driving on a mission trip weekend. Before this car accident, I was doing little mission trips on the weekends away from my day job, wherever the Holy Spirit would send me. It's quite fun. And I didn't quite get to my destination. But that's the Holy Spirit for you. I believe He allowed me to get hit by another vehicle. I don't think that it was a good thing. I don't wish anybody to get hit by a car, but He demonstrated a miracle before my eyes because the lady was going, she decided to start speeding past me in it was a 2-lane highway, and she was going anywhere from 75 to 80 miles an hour. And she said that her vehicle had started to hydroplane into mine. I think she was in a trance. That's my personal opinion from what the Holy Spirit has revealed to me, but who knows? Who knows? She admitted full fault, and it's been almost a month, and I've hired lawyers. Finally was able to get a doctor's appointment. At first they were telling me because I was poor because of this car accident, I had to pay almost my whole month's rent in 3 days of hotel stays because I was hit an hour away from a fallen officer in a really rich town in the middle of America, and these people were grieving and they didn't have any services for any low-income people. And I was humiliated. That's the level. That's the truth. I was humiliated. As a fellow minister, I had to beg for emergency housing and no one helped me. But sometimes you have to go through challenging things in order to continue being obedient to the Father. And the topic for today's sermon, it's called Deep Love. He started sharing a song with me this morning, and I'll share that on the show later on. I think what he's called me to be is a lot of things, but you have to stand out if you're a public speaker, right? You have to have your own thing where people can identify you as, so then they can market for you, right? Because if you're good, people will share about you to their friends and family. Word of mouth marketing is one of the greatest, quickest forms to spread your brand around the world. And love is the most powerful force in the world. That's what I've learned. That's what I've been reminded by. I've just tried my best to choose to live a life of love, as Jesus told us all to do. And I'm human. I have my mood swings, just like all ladies do. I'm trying to be myself and just share the journey with you on this show. And this deep love, what I've found since having the car accident is every day is different. I've been in extreme pain in some days, in some parts of the day, and I was refused medical treatment. The doctor's office refused to even see me. They didn't have an EMT show up. They asked. They had the officer had the little camera on him. He asked us both. We were in the middle of crisis, and he asked us both. I was experiencing PTSD. I had just survived a car crash. She had hit me, and my car spun in a 1.5 revolution. And he asked us if we wanted to see a paramedic. That is not what's supposed to happen. You are supposed to automatically have first responders on site to check to see if you are okay. Why didn't they send someone? Well, I've experienced a lot of weird things in the last 3 years, and they were organizing a funeral. That's the only thing that I could think of, because that's what the officer told me. He was literally on his way to helping with the funeral of a fallen female officer who was killed in a hospital days before I showed up an hour away from where she was murdered for protecting another woman from a domestic violence person. She followed the laws. She followed the laws that she is supposed to follow as a police officer. And it didn't work. The electronic device did not work. I didn't know about this story. The Holy Spirit sent me there. That is what I believe. And the only pain relief, this deep love that I have for the Father, the only pain relief has been when I share, when he tells me to get on this phone and he says, I need you to speak on this topic. And he gives me the exact title of the topic. And I just allow him to speak through me, whatever comes out. Sometimes it's science-relevant research. Sometimes it's a part of, you know, obviously a part of the journey, the story. Sometimes it's tying in some past memories. Whatever comes out. And that has been my only form of relief. I've finally started taking ibuprofens, max dose. So it's been about 3 or 4 weeks. But the doctor, I told him I had some concerns about that. I've got a lot of medical knowledge. I don't have any PhDs. I've got a lot of medical knowledge because of my real life experiences working with real medical professionals and asking questions. And we all have the internet, right? At times when it works. I know that it's not good to take pills every single day. There are always side effects. And the side effects, if you take ibuprofen, max dose, every day, not good on your internal organs after 5 weeks. I already knew that because of a concussion. I had two concussions I had survived from my first and only year teaching high school. I will never teach high school again. I love high school students, but I was not set up for success as a professional there. And that's all right. That's all right. I didn't die, right? We keep it moving forward. This deep love that the Father has for you, He has for all of us. He deeply desires to allow us to have joyful lives on this earth. And the doctor provided me, based on what was requested for my day job, an x-ray. And then he provided me recommendations based on what he was able to see. Now, in that moment, I had been waiting almost 2 or 3 weeks for a doctor's appointment. I had to reschedule it because they were going to make me pay up front in full for a doctor's appointment. And I was almost forced into homelessness from someone else causing a car accident, and we were both fully insured, until the Holy Spirit reminded me that I could hire a lawyer and that they might not even make me pay until we settle. So I hired a lawyer, and a team of lawyers, actually, because the Holy Spirit takes care of me. When I got down on my knees in desperation, I had to beg for financial assistance from a family member for somebody else's car accident. No, I'm not the only one that's ever been through a car accident. I didn't want to sue anybody. I told them that in the middle of the car. I was trying to be kind and generous, but I've had so many people disrespect me in the last 3 years that I have had enough. And this deep love I think the Father desires for me to share with you, that you have to stand up for yourself. If people are taking advantage of you, the world is a rough place. And I'm a huge asset to the world. And I've been royally disrespected as a veteran spouse, as a woman that publicly shares that she is a survivor of childhood sexual abuse. I've been attacked. I've had death threats. I've had people forced, my husband and I, a top-trained assassin of President Trump, to try and have us both killed in America. I've been through some real-life SH, if you know what I'm saying. And this deep love the Father has for me, He has the same love for you. The Father doesn't show any favoritism. What He does is He allows us, if we speak aloud our faith, He moves mountains as tall as we speak, as long as we believe that He can turn things around. He can. The only thing that limits us is our own belief system, our own level of consciousness. And as I continue choosing to love others, as I continue choosing to be kind to others, right? The fruits of the Spirit, demonstrating all of those things that I learned in Bible studies, in Sunday school, and lessons with my mom driving in the car when we were little, and she'd have her little spiritual lessons that she would teach us, her little analogies in our drive time. I want to say drive time Bible time with mom. I don't know. We'll think of a cooler name. And this deep love that the Father has for us. There's a truck walking by. There's a deep love that the Father has for you, He has for me. So I had remembered after the doctor's appointment that I had waited for and then I had to reschedule for, because I couldn't afford to pay in full. That's the level of financial disarray. Being a part of this contest for the last 3 years has forced me into homelessness multiple times, and I've kept on climbing up through the bottom, but we're in the last like 73, 74 days, somewhere around there, and the Father has had enough, as have I, with all the disrespect of me being a multi-trillion-dollar asset and the rich people that are profiting off of the pains of the poor. I'm an extremely generous person. People have inspected all of my tech for the last 3 years. They know that. And people were being cheap. So I started speaking up. I started being the squeaky wheel. Still being kind, but I started speaking up for myself. Because if I don't speak up for myself as a veteran spouse who's been royally disrespected, what does that say about you? I am the role model for you. if you're listening to this, if you're a wife, which I am, if you're an aspiring wife in the future, maybe you're a young lady and your mom's like, I need you to listen to this, ladies, real life stuff, because your complaints about your school drama is nothing. You need to listen to what she's gone through. Whatever it is, or maybe it's young boys that got caught disrespecting ladies at school. Who knows? Who knows who listens to the show? Only the Father knows, and people that share with me that they've listened to the show. So I want to encourage you. Deep love. I requested in the middle of crisis so I could get back to my day job in X-ray, because that's what my day job required. I forgot that I had been in a really bad car accident in 2015. Now, I did speak this to the doctor. I did speak this to the lawyers. They are aware of this. What I didn't know until I watched a video last night from my lawyer team is that pre-existing injuries, if this exacerbates it, it makes my case even stronger. I had been driving a rental vehicle in 2015, and a deer had suicided itself on my way. I was trying my best to solve the crisis of my divorce process. My ex had moved our entire money out. I had a guaranteed teaching job at a high school. Guaranteed contract. They had ripped from me. There are no guarantees in life. I was trying to solve my problem and had met a person through a direct sales company that I thought was going to be, because he lied to me, a roommate. He said he had a big seafood business and he was going to expand it in the Seattle market. But he needed me to fly out and transport him back, and he'd be my roommate and he'd split the rent. Yeah, I was very trusting because all the people that had helped me in that direct sales company had been trustworthy. But this one, whoo, this one was not. This one was a person that had mental illness, and his family, who I met, did not warn me at all. He didn't have a job. He had multiple diagnoses, was not medicating, and was heavily addicted to all kinds of things. It is what it is. I survived it. I believe the Holy Spirit allowed for that deer to jump into the vehicle as a red flag to stop me in my tracks, to keep this man from going any further. But at that point, I was already committed. I had applied for unemployment, but I didn't ever apply before. I didn't desire to be on unemployment. I desired to work with a master's degree, right? But I was struggling. Lawyer fees, very expensive. If you've been through divorce, you know what I'm talking about. And my lawyer, no good. She stole from me. Yeah, I found that out from my good friend Deborah. Yeah, my friend Deborah mailed me a box of items last fall when I was forced into like the 70th address, 68th address that I've had to move since my divorce process to my first husband. Yeah, in 2015. I've had it rough since then, but I haven't died. I keep it moving, and I make good quality friends. And that friend, not a lawyer, but she went through her own divorce process where her ex was taking advantage of the system and taking advantage of her and her money. And she had me write out, lay out all my paperwork from the lawyer. She said, your lawyer is charging you $75 per email, I believe was the fee. And she's emailing you 3 to 4 times a week. Ask her to email you at the most once a week. That'll condense your monies. She was responding based on how often I was reaching out to her, I believe. So it wasn't necessarily that she was quote-unquote stealing from me. When I asked for an itemized breakdown, though, she dropped me from the case. So I imagine I wasn't the only person that she was having to overcharge, right? And her response to me was that she had a family to feed. We all got families to feed. Now, I didn't have any children. I was a step-parent when I was going through my divorce process with my first husband, but I had this deep love, and the Father loves me deeply, and someone had gifted me in that divorce process, had paid for an emergency medical appointment at one of the best doctors in Tacoma, Washington, and I forget the name of the doctor, but I'm going to look through my notes and see if I can figure it out or pray and ask the Father to reveal the name of that doctor to me, because that doctor provided a higher level test to show me my spine. It wasn't an X-ray. I don't know if it was an MRI or what it was, but they had high-level technologies because they were the best. This person gifted it to me from this direct sales company. They gifted it to me to help me. Because my back in 2015, from that car accident and into 2016, I was training for a marathon before that. This completely disrupted my whole life. My back was thrown out. I was bedridden. I couldn't even lift my back. I was in so much pain. They got me emergency help. And the doctor told me, looked at me and said, I know, you're an endurance athlete. If I tell you not to run, you're not going to listen to me. I said, okay, you're speaking my language. What's up? How can we work this out? He said, you got a goal, right? I said, yeah, I'm trying. I paid for this race in June. It's a rock and roll marathon in Seattle. This is something that I bought for myself to gift myself because I've been through so much hell with this divorce process. He goes, I feel you there. What I recommend on the days where you're experiencing the sharp pains, that's no good. Aaron, you got bone on bone. I said, okay, bone on bone. So what? What's the worst that could happen? Because I had a roommate in grad school, my friend Rachel, and she was an endurance athlete, and she was like, pain ain't no thing, right? So I was learning from her. She says, you got to talk to doctors and really ask them what's the worst case scenario, because their job is to scare you sometimes. They don't know. They don't understand. Most of these doctors are not endurance athletes. They don't understand the mindset of an endurance athlete. And I'm an endurance athlete. I'm a marathon runner, baby. I haven't been able to finish a marathon because of injuries like deer jumping in front of my cars. But my intentions are. And I've got the grit and the stamina. And but the deep level of pain brought me down to my knees praying to the Lord Jesus to help me, and he has, and I've learned to not just pray deeply in those severe times. I've learned to praise him in every single moment and every single breath in and out. This deep love he has grown this confidence in me to speak and storytell to you. So when that doctor in 2015, when he and I met, it might have been early 2016. It was right around the December, January time, somewhere around there. He said, Aaron, the worst thing that could happen to you is you have bone on bone, so you got to think about it like chiseling cement together, right? Over time, it's going to wear down your bones. There's nothing in between the bones, in your vertebrae, in your lower back. So eventually, the bones are going to wear down so thin. If you continue with this high intensity exercise, you're going to have to get spinal, what do you call that? Vertebrae, like replacement disc surgery. I'm like, what? This is in 2015. I was born in 86. I'm like 29, 30 years old. That's not good. How in the world am I that young and I needed to have my back replaced? So that got my attention. So I said, okay, well, I love running. It's a stress relief for me. It helps me with my anxieties, but what can I do instead? I was open to hearing his advice. And he said, I'm glad you asked that. So on those days where it's sharp pains, where you're having shooting pains going up your back or down your legs, you need, on those days, if you absolutely have to exercise, he said, exercise is good, but how about you walk? And you walk at a slow pace. And you allow the inflammation to go down. At that time, I was doing a lot of heat therapy. He said, that's not good. I said, it's not good? He said, no. No, because heat, it's already swollen. It's inflamed. Heat is going to make it swell even more. I said, okay, so what should I do instead? He said, if anything, cold when it's sharp pains. So I was like, oh, man, you're schooling me on so much. He goes, I'm glad you came in here because I do care about you as a human being. I've seen a lot of endurance athletes. That's, I think, why your friend here paid for your doctor's appointment. You got a good friend here. I said, yes, I do. I'm very grateful. And that was a friend from the direct sales organization, Nerium, that used to be called Nerium. Now it's Neora. So many great human beings from that organization. And that person was a veteran. They didn't have to help me. I think they were sent the Holy Spirit saying, say her name, Jenny Thummel. I think Jenny Thummel, she looked after me like a big sister. She was a student of my uncle at the same high school where I taught 1 year. My uncle taught there for his whole career. The same high school that was in the movie, The 10 Things I Hate About You, with Heath Ledger and Julia Stiles, I think, was the main actress lady. They filmed that, I think, in the summer break while the school was out, while the students were out. And this deep love of the Father desires to remind me and to remind you that you need to take care of yourself. So I'm listening to the advice of the doctor that I had an appointment with this last week. He told me that, Aaron, you need to get up and move. I also told him about that injury, though, and he said, okay, well, we're going to set up an appointment. I want you to try physical therapy for 6 weeks. I said, okay. And he said, and then we're going to do a follow-up 6-week appointment after your physical therapy. So I said, okay. I said, are you guys able to do that here? Or do I find a physical therapist elsewhere? He said, we can handle it all here. It's in another building, but it's under our same umbrella for our organization, our medical group. I said, oh, praise the Lord. And the doctor, is a veteran. And when he knew from the ladies, the nurses that had done my intake and whatnot, they are veteran spouses. And I think they spoke to him before he came in. And at first, he was wondering why it took me so long to be seen by a doctor. They have to be concerned about medical fraud, right? Lots of people claiming things, injuries that not accurate. I have a very high pain tolerance, and I have been poor. I've been forced to be poor from this contest I've been a part of for 3 years. And I've had to live through it so that I can honestly speak from an authentic place from every single different socioeconomic status. And I had to advocate for myself and tell him and explain to him that I begged for assistance, emergency housing assistance, from 7 churches, and I was denied help. That is when I think he was like, okay, she's telling the truth. She wouldn't be revealing all these things. And then he started opening up to me about being a veteran and how he was stationed. He asked me where I was from. And then he said, oh, I have a daughter in the military right now. She's in DuPont. I was like, oh, in Washington? He said, yeah. I said, I used to transport Wounded Warrior battalions, and a lot of the officers live in DuPont. That's a very nice area. And he smiled, and he's like, yeah. So it started to open up a bridge of conversation, of trust, and he knew I was one of those good people, and I'm glad. I'm glad that he listened to me, trusted in me, and even asked me for a review. And I provided it. So I asked them to keep it private in-house because I've had such a high level of security I've had to be under where I can't even do a Google review. Because if I'm going back there, the people that were involved, that have been involved, my husband doesn't know all the organizations that were involved. So I've had to learn that I can't do basic level things that everybody in the world can do and not think about it. If I go back to a place, if I have a regular appointment at a place, I can't advertise on the internet that anybody could have access to because of the level of security I'm under. If I post a Google review, they could try and blow up that building if they traced my location. That's the level of torture I've been under for 3 years. But guess what? I've decided. My pastor's assistant pastor this morning, Nick, from Lakewood Church, I'm deciding to stand on this mountain. Nobody is going to allow me to live in fear in America. I'm a veteran spouse. And if I allow myself to live in fear, and you're listening to this, then you're going to tell your kids that America should be a place of fear for women. No. No. There's way too many veterans that are fed up with what has happened in the last 3 years. Way too many veteran spouses, mothers, grandmothers that stand behind me all over the world. I am your global mental health ambassador. I have lived through just about every single terrible life experience, and I'm still standing. And I still deeply love my husband, even though we've been forced to be separated for over a year. We got 70-something days left until I get to see my husband again. It'll be a year and a half since I've seen my husband with zero contact. I've had to get multiple cell phones in the last few years because I've been professionally hacked from this evil Illuminati group that is in every major organization in the world. All the rich of the rich of the rich people that are satanic worshipers that sacrifice little boys and little girls and drink their blood to stay looking younger. But my husband is the best, most fierce warrior, and he has all of his friends, all of his associations are good, and they're all over the world, and they're fighting against the injustice of the Illuminati. And I can't wait to see my husband again, and to thank all of the presidents and the first ladies, October 17th, 2023, for being willing to meet and listen to our story, being willing to meet and listen to our ideas of the HOPE Act to help increase the revenues of America and help flip our economy back into the positive, and listen to me forgive 100% the security man from the Democratic team that tried to ruin my reputation in public in the middle of the day, was paid over $1 million. We're going to discreetly forgive him, because he was forced to do that from this Illuminati group. And we're not going to leave any soldiers, any airmen, any seamen, any veteran behind. That is what being an American is. And that is what being a believer in Jesus Christ is. The more mercy I show to this man and to America, the more mercy will be given back onto me and my family. I can't wait for that meeting to take place. I can't wait for my mother to be in the room and to see how blessed her family really is. That's what she would say. Every single day when we left the house, that was her mantra, if you will, to us. Be a blessing. Be a blessing. Be a blessing. And that is exactly what I have been and what I choose to be. And I can't wait to learn more from all of these big-time ministers that are big-time TV ministers. I imagine in the next few years that they will wrap their arms around me and invite me to speak at their churches if my husband believes it would be conducive for us, and for us to pray together, of course, and ask the Father if that would be something that would be of value. I can't wait. I can't wait for the rest of my life. And you also, you should also be joyful for the rest of your life. Right now, I'm just acknowledging where I'm at in the present moment, and I have zero pain. The only time I have zero pain is when I am being obedient to the Father and I'm speaking to you on this show. I am so grateful. I am so grateful for being alive. The Father could end my life in any moment, and I'm not afraid to die, because that means that I have truly lived. And I'm believing for a long and prosperous life, because there are so many people in the world that need to hear about the love, the true love of Jesus. I can't wait. I can't wait to meet everybody. all of the people, all of the people that choose to be good and choose to be loving, or that the Father assigns to me to soften their hearts to bring back to his kingdom. Won't you join in with me and join in with my family? If you don't have a personal relationship with the Father and you desire to have this personal relationship where he can speak to you and you can speak back to him at any moment about any problem or any praise, anything in life, he desires to spend time with you, as much time as you're willing to give to him. Why don't you join us? Repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this gift of salvation. I know I'm a sinner in need of your forgiveness. Father, please forgive me for all my mistakes. Please come into my heart and never leave my side. I pray this in your heavenly name. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time, we want to welcome you to the family. Your next steps are to get plugged into a Bible-based church. If you're in the military, recognize that your chaplains are resources that are paid. They are paid a salary from our government, from taxpayers, to help provide you with religious resources in your preferred denomination. That is what being an American veteran is all about, and veteran spouse. So ask them. They should have handouts, or maybe they have a digital thing they can email to your military email address, and then you as a family can decide what are the needs for your family, right? There are different kinds of churches, all different sizes. This deep love of the Father provides for different churches, for different needs, for based on, you know, if you've got little kids, maybe they have a children's program. There are churches on posts and on military installations, but there might be some churches that have been shut down because of the lack of funding, because of our economy. So maybe the Holy Spirit, if you're still listening to this and you didn't just commit, you've been a believer for a long time, maybe the Holy Spirit is encouraging you to start your own ministry to help bridge the gap. I never imagined I would be called into ministry, but I'm obedient. And when he called me from homelessness in 2020, I started it as soon as I got stable housing. And actually, I started it before stable housing, in the middle of getting emergency help from my mom. Yeah, so don't let nobody tell you you can't do nothing. If you believe that the Holy Spirit desires for you to start your own church, to start your own ministry, you can do it anywhere with anybody. But if you desire to go to somebody else's church, that is your freedom, your right. And recognize that they're going to ask for tithes and offerings. That is 10%. So if you're visiting, don't feel obligated to give any money. If you believe that you're supposed to give them, then, you know, discuss together as a couple, if you're married, discuss what amount to give. The Lord loves a generous giver, not one that gives out of obligations. Some churches use the psychology, especially against women. That's what I was trained on from my hero of 2020 that became my husband last year. Some churches are so desperate for tithes and offerings that they know that. They use the psychology to get people, especially older ladies, to get them vulnerable enough to give of their tithes, promising all kinds of things in abundance and prosperity and blessings, when really those are the people that need to be saving their monies and to maybe giving of their time instead of their money. So pray on it. Use discernment. Ask the Father for wisdom of how much tithes to give. Or if you're just visiting, just say, hey, you know, we're just visiting this time, but if we decide to become members, then at that point we will be consistent with our tithes. He will bless your life. He will prosper your life. I promise you this. I can't wait to see my husband. I've had such an incredible life. Of course, there's been terrible, horrible things, but I'm choosing to focus on this deep love of the Father, because he hasn't allowed me to die yet. He still has a purpose for my life. So I get up and I am obedient, and I'm obedient to the doctor's orders. And he said, you know, 6 weeks of PT. Well, PT isn't available until the end of this month for my first appointment. So I'm being patient, I'm being obedient, and after the 6 weeks of PT, then he said, scheduling a follow-up appointment with one of his team members, and I will see one of the team members and do a checkup and see if I'm still in pain at that point. Then he said, we'll do an MRI, which I think is the scan that I had in 2015 that already said that I had bone on bone. So I've reached out to my lawyers. I've asked, what do you recommend? I forgot about this appointment I had years ago because I've been dealing with so much chronic stress over the last 3 years being tortured in America for this contest that when it came to my memory, I immediately reached out and I've asked for advice. So I can't wait to get those responses back. I can't wait to be obedient to the doctors, be obedient to the Father, and I can't wait to continue sharing with you on the journey. Now, my lawyers do advise that I don't discuss anything of any details because they said that insurance companies will dig in and spy and even follow. In the video I watched, they will even follow you to the grocery stores and different things, all kinds of things. I was like, that's creepy. If anybody does that to me, I'm married to the top trained assassin that protects President Trump. I don't think these insurance companies will try to disrespect me like that. They could try. They can go ahead and try, but just keep that in mind. I might not be able to share all the pertinent detailed information, but they could reach out if they have any questions. They can reach out to my lawyer if they need to. All right, love you guys so much. Don't forget to tell someone you love them today. And we'll see you next time.